The Champions League keeps throwing up dramatic and unexpected stories. Maccabi Haifa are celebrating their first win in the competition in 20 years after defeating the mighty Juventus. Real Madrid needed an equaliser deep in added time to deny Shakhtar a famous victory. Manchester City are through despite a 0-0 draw at Copenhagen. Leipzig showed their quality at Celtic. And Chelsea triumphed at San Siro. Let's discuss all this and more on our review show of the UEFA Champions League. Welcome along, I'm Rob Daly, and we're going to look back on a pulsating night of action from this season's Champions League group stages. Tonight I'm joined by commentators Adam Summerton and Jonathan Beck, who've been across a couple of our games. Adam, first of all to you, Milan, Chelsea, great result for Chelsea.
Absolutely, yeah, great back-to-back results for Chelsea in the UEFA Champions League, having beaten Milan by 3-0 on match day 3. And in truth, it all turned, didn't it? The whole game was one moment really was so pivotal, so important. The 18th minute when Tomori was shown a straight red card for a challenge on Mason Mount, who'd got the right side of him from a Chelsea perspective, clean through on goal. The referee felt that he denied a clear goal-scoring opportunity. That then led to the penalty, which was so well converted by Jorginho. The second then arrived from Aubameyang in the first half as well. And in truth, Milan created opportunities, but it was so difficult for them to get back into it against what is a quality Chelsea side who I thought showed their class, and it was a very professional performance from them in the circumstances.
Decent too for Benfica in Paris. Paris Saint-Germain taking the lead in the first half through Kylian Mbappe's penalty. His 31st UEFA Champions League goal for the club. He's now their record scorer in the competition, but they couldn't, despite decent chances, make that second step. And Benfica themselves got a penalty from a Marco Verratti foul on Rafa Silva. It was slotted by João Mário down the middle into the roof of the net. And Roger Schmidt's side, good value for a point, just as they were in Portugal a week ago.
And our European football expert Chris Parrott is with us. Chris, six other games to discuss. Good luck picking a headline result. Actually, maybe there is one in Israel.
Yeah, and the atmosphere in Haifa was absolutely electric from before kickoff to the final whistle. First victory in a couple of decades. It gives Maccabi Haifa every chance of playing European football in the new year, and it gives Benfica and Paris, really now, you would think, a passage through to the last 16 at Juventus's expense. A word on Shakhtar, pegged back so late by Real Madrid, who love a late goal in the Champions League under Carlo Ancelotti, but what a performance for them amid all of the circumstances they are playing in at the moment, to almost beat the 14-time winners and to be in with a chance of going through from Group F still, I think is a remarkable achievement.
OK, well, let's go through all the scores from Tuesday. Group E, Dinamo Zagreb 1, Salzburg 1, Milan 0, Chelsea 2. Group F, Shakhtar 1, Real Madrid 1, Celtic 0, RB Leipzig 2. Group G, Copenhagen 0, Manchester City 0, Borussia Dortmund 1, Sevilla 1, Maccabi Haifa 2, Juventus 0, Paris Saint-Germain 1, Benfica 1. Let's start at San Siro then with our proper review, where 2021 winners Chelsea were in town to face AC Milan.
Jorginho on the edge of the area, approaches the ball and right-footed, scores. It was that typical Jorginho run-up. The little stutter at the end sent the goalkeeper the wrong way.
Expert penalty, and Milan a goal and a man down. Their challenge tonight has just got a lot tougher.
Kovacic, Chilwell to his left, through the middle it goes, and Sterling's in, that is placed home. Aubameyang with the finish. And San Siro with the acrobatic celebration afterwards. Chelsea worked that so well.
I think the pass was meant for Sterling, but Aubameyang arrived, as all great goal scorers do on cue.
Adam on commentary there with Chris, and the pair of them join me now. The player of the match was Mason Mount, and Adam, he played a telling part in that early, the decisive moment of the match, let's face it.
Yeah, absolutely. He just got, from a Chelsea perspective, that right side of Tomori, who will be so frustrated because, of course, a former Chelsea player, this fixture above all others he would have wanted to have played well in, was disappointed with how it went last week. And this was maybe a shot at redemption, not just for him, but the Milan squad as a whole. They didn't do themselves justice in London. They haven't done themselves justice again tonight. But the circumstance is so different. But Mason Mount was, along with Reece James, I would say, the best player on the pitch in that first. They were the two for me who really shone in a Chelsea shirt. There were others you could mention too, but I thought those two were probably the best in that respect. It's a shame from a Chelsea perspective that Reece James had to go off injured. But yeah, it's a decision that will get debated. There will be some who maybe might feel it was harsh, but there is, you have to look at it. Was he impeded? Did it deny a goal-scoring opportunity? You know, these are the questions that you have to run through in your head. And obviously the referee has felt that, yes, it did deny a clear goal-scoring opportunity. And yes, in his opinion, Mason Mount was impeded by Tomori. And that's why we see the penalty and the red card.
Yeah, and when you look at it back, there is a tug just as he goes inside the penalty area. And it causes Mason Mount to lose balance and therefore his shot. And we know he's an excellent finisher. His shot was comfortably saved by the goalkeeper. So therefore, that is the reason that the penalty and the red card were given. Milan had a couple of chances in the game. Olivier Giroud had a very, very big one at 1-0, a header, after a brilliant move. And Milan started the game so well. They were quick. They were first to every second ball. And if that goes in, then even with the 10 men, you would have given them a chance amid a fantastic atmosphere. And the Milan supporters were magnificent for the full 90 minutes. But Chelsea did get the second goal just before half-time. And then second period really had one scare when Sergiño Dest blasted over. But it was a very professional performance again. And I think that word is being increasingly used since Graham Potter has taken charge. He looks like he has been the coach of a big club who want to win trophies for a lot longer than the month that he has actually been in charge at Chelsea.
How will Milan reflect on these two games, Adam? Because you were saying, someone who saw them win the title last season and do so many great things over the past year and a half, that they'll feel they didn't give the real themselves,
yeah,
over the course
absolutely.
Of these two games.
Yeah, that's, as someone who watches a lot of Italian football, and I feel a bit of an affinity to it, if I'm honest, I feel frustrated that on a European stage that they've not been able to show really hardly anything of the Milan side that did so well to win the league title last season. And yeah, whether you see these as mitigations or whether you see these as excuses, obviously a red card after 18 minutes against a side as good as Chelsea, you're massively up against it. In terms of the first game, they had eight players out. You know, what we've also got to point out here when we're talking about a team with eight players out is the difference in resources between Milan and Chelsea is huge. I mean, you see a side like Chelsea who would bring on a fullback for another fullback, and one was, I think, £50 million, and the other was £60-odd million. And that, you know, that's, and Milan just aren't in that ballpark at all. And that plays a part too, you know, the finance that's at the respective clubs. But yeah, it's just that sense of not maybe missed opportunity, but just that they haven't been able to do themselves justice. But as Chris pointed out, Rob, during the game, look, Milan have to try and take some positives from this, and one was the how they still persisted, they still persevered, even when it did look pretty hopeless for them, and they're still in with a chance of qualifying from this group. All is not lost in that respect.
Yeah, 2 points behind Salzburg in second, and only 3 points behind Chelsea, albeit with a head-to-head record, which they obviously can't get the better of the London side. But I think we saw the way they wanted to play in the opening 10-15 minutes before the red card and the penalty, and they were causing Chelsea problems. Teo Hernandez, on his return, was the main player of the match for the opening 10 minutes, certainly. He was popping up everywhere from left wing back. And they just couldn't create chances, not just tonight, but last week. How many good saves has Kepa had to make in 180 minutes of football? I can't remember one. And I think that will be the frustration for Milan, is that they were unable to cause Chelsea, over two matches, any defensive problems, really.
Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, we talked about these players, Thiago Silva, Tomori, tied to former clubs. But Aubameyang's sort of understated time at Milan, and we know he loves the city. That will have meant a lot to him tonight, Adam, to score that goal.
Yeah, it was an acrobatic celebration after he scored it as well. He nearly tripped up after he'd done that somersault. But yeah, I thought he took his goal really well, and it finished off a nice move. I thought it was actually going to be Sterling who took the shot, because it seemed to be playing into the path of Sterling, but then Aubameyang almost took it off his toe, really, and placed it so well into the bottom corner. The keeper didn't even have time to react, really. But, you know, Chelsea... Chris mentioned in commentary how maybe last season with Chelsea it did hold them back a bit, that they didn't have that sort of, you know, you see it discussed so much, don't you, that 20 goal a season striker. Yeah. And Graham Potter, it almost became a bit of a running joke at Brighton that, you know, if only Brighton had that 20 goal a season striker, what could be achieved there? Well, he's now got one. He's got a player who's got an almost 1-2 record in this competition as well, which is not many players will have done that over the years. Fantastic record Aubameyang has in it, although he's never won a European trophy. You know, he's in the, you know, not the twilight of his career, he's still got years in him, he's 33, but, you know, he'll be feeling that his opportunities to win this competition, obviously naturally with him getting older, are getting less and less. And I think that Chelsea have got a great chance this season. I really do. When I look at the squad, I look at how deep it is, I look at the quality in there, the fact that they have now got a striker who you can pin your hat on and say, yeah, he will get you goals. You can absolutely rely on him to get goals. That they've got great depth, and Graham Potter has settled in so well. Chelsea are a side to be feared in this competition for me this season.
Well, when they change manager in the middle of a season, they normally have a good run in the Champions League, don't they? And they have won it with change managers. Roberto Di Matteo, of course, Thomas Tuchel previously. Let's see how they get on. They're top of the group, 7 points at the moment. Salzburg 6, Milan 4, Dinamo Zagreb 4. After a 1-1 draw in Croatia earlier on today, Nicolas Zeivalt, I should say, with a lovely low hit as Salzburg took the lead, looking to do the double over Dinamo Zagreb. But Robert Ljubicic, with a deflected effort from range, got the hosts level and did hold on for the point. They are unbeaten at the Maccabi, let's not forget, after beating Chelsea. Bottom of the group, Dinamo Zagreb, but still in with the hope of reaching the round of 16. In one of today's early kickoffs, Maccabi Haifa faced Juventus in Group G. And here's what happened with your commentators, Joe Shannon and Jenna Scalacci.
It's corner with another great cross, as Tilly's header! It's in! It's in! Maccabi Haifa lead! What a moment for the Israeli side, and an extraordinary wall of noise at the Sammy Offer Stadium.
Szczesny just couldn't reach it. It's a fantastic start, and it was teasing. That's the fourth cross that they've had into the same area.
Now Piero, the big striker, will turn and burst towards goal. He's 20 metres out. He plays it square to Atsili. Atsili in the penalty area! Finds the top corner! What a strike! What a goal! What a moment for Maccabi Haifa! Omar Atsili at the double! And Juventus trail by 2-0.
Szczesny got a hand to it, but the hand took it into the back of the net. And again, Atsili, he's got the goal that he's deserved. He's had a few chances. He's got his second goal.
It was almost a perfect underdog performance. It was that plucky, naive, brave, bold first half where you sort of ripped the game from the other team's hands, and then, Chris, they dug in front of that unbelievable crowd. You could hear it there with Jenna and Joe, to claim a first Champions League win in 2 decades.
Yeah, they threatened it at home to Paris Saint-Germain. They had moments in Turin last week when they caused Juventus problems and scored. And then tonight they really turned it on. And, you know, when the crowd started to pour into the stadium a good hour before kickoff, you thought, with Juventus and the season they're having, maybe there's all the ingredients here for a major upset, but you need to have the quality and the discipline to see it through. And Maccabi had that. And as you heard there, scored 2 very good goals. Were well worth the win. I think Max Allegri afterwards admitted that. Said that his team aren't playing as a team at the moment. But let's just sit back and enjoy that for Maccabi Haifa, for Israeli football. It's a massive night, and it gives them a real chance of maybe finishing third. And in this section with Benfica and Paris Saint-Germain and Juventus, that would be some achievement.
Certainly would. Omar Atsili, after scoring both goals, was unsurprisingly the UEFA player of the match. But no doubt one of the proudest men on the pitch tonight was club captain Nedhat Larvi. This is what he had to say after full time.
We talked all the way that in Champions League we want to take also points, not just look good for parts of the game. I'm very happy that all the team made a great offer, played together for 90 minutes. Not 1 minute we gave away. And this was the difference, I think. We need to be ready for every game, every match in the league, in Champions League. We need to come with the same attitude. Last game was not good enough for us, I think, in the league, but tonight was perfect. You know, football is sometimes 100-0 and 0-100. We need to calm down and be ready for the next one.
Well, they had threatened to do something in this group stage. Saw them score against Paris Saint-Germain, saw them score away at Juventus. They've got their victory. Let's hear from another player from their ranks, Charon Cherry, the Dutch midfielder, recognising the significance of tonight's win to the club.
I think today we make history with Maccabi Haifa. I think this is the biggest win of the history of Maccabi Haifa, and I'm happy to be part of this. You know, we're going to focus first on the next league game, but, you know, in the Champions League, we want to finish third position, I mean. So, you know, step by step, but, you know, we have a good feeling now, so we hope we can continue like this.
Yeah, first Champions League win since they beat Manchester United 3-0 back in 2002. This result arguably just as famous for Maccabi Haifa. Juve, though, meanwhile, they've never lost three of their first four matches in the Champions League group stage until this season. And Chris, some work to be done for Max Allegri.
Yeah, I mean, major work. You'd think it is almost impossible for them to finish in the top two positions and go through. Interesting from Allegri after the match, saying that ahead of their Turin derby with Torino this weekend, they're going to head into a cantinasa, which is a retreat, really, where all the players will remain together and will train, and there won't be too much in the way of media interviews, etc. And that is what Italian teams often do after a damaging defeat. But it's not been the season Juventus would have hoped for so far. And to see them in the last 16 now, well, it would take an almighty turnaround.
There's a glum Adam Summerton in the corner of the studio, by the way, after another bad result for an Italian team.
Yeah, I mean, it's desperately difficult now for Juventus, not just in this competition, but, you know, in Serie A as well. They're eighth right now. They're 10 points behind Napoli, who lead the league. I mean, this is unthinkable, isn't it, for a club that dominated Serie A for a decade.
Yeah.
It's almost really unthinkable that they're in the position that they are. It's a squad that, you know, a lot of people will feel needs a lot of surgery, but is the finance there to be able to do that? You know, there's a question marks, understandably, over the head coach. I think there would be over any head coach in charge of a side as big as Juventus, who are eighth in the table and are realistically not going to qualify for the next round of the UEFA Champions League. There are so many issues. We could do an hour just talking about Juventus right now. But what is hard to see is, in the short term, how they get out of this. It's a very tricky situation.
OK, staying with this group, to events in France, where Paris Saint-Germain took on Benfica. Jonathan Beck was on this one.
Kylian Mbappe against Blacka Demos, and into the bottom left-hand corner it goes. 6 till the break. Kylian Mbappe becomes Paris Saint-Germain's all-time Champions League top scorer with his 31st in the competition, and Paris lead Benfica by a goal to nil. And Jean-Mario walks forward, re-spots the ball on the edge of the penalty spot. Donnarumma has had absolutely nothing to do. But now only he stands between Benfica and an equalising goal. It's João Mário against Donnarumma, and into the roof of the net it goes. He's been really good so far in the second half. Benfica are right back in it. It's Paris 1, Benfica 1.
Yeah, and they've enjoyed successive draws against the French champions, both sides on 8 points at the moment in Group H. Well clear of Juve and Maccabi Haifa with 3 each. Let's speak to Jonathan now. Kylian Mbappe was the UEFA player of the match. Was the result itself, Jonathan, a fair one, do you think, on reflection?
I think so, yeah, over the course of the 90 minutes. Paris better in the early stages, better overall in the first half. There were decent chances when Mbappe managed to break, and after his comments after the weekend's 0-0 draw with Rance that he preferred to play in a two, he was all over the place. He was buzzing off the players around him. He was popping up on the left, on the right, and he looked the most dangerous player. No doubt that he probably was the UEFA man of the match, deservedly. But in the second half, Benfica came out nicely. They had a little bit more energy about them in the opening stages, and it paid off because they got that penalty, a foul by Verratti on a trailing leg of Rafa Silva. and spotted by the VAR. Penalty given. João Mário dispatched it just past the hour. And after that, the game was played out pretty much well by both sides who managed things.
From a Benfica point of view, Jonathan, it's obviously early in Roger Schmidt's reign in Lisbon, but now two very good results against, I mean, let's be honest, one of the favourites to win this season's Champions League. It says a lot about his start and how his team now are progressing.
Yeah, it's only the second time they've avoided defeat in Paris. They've still never won, but I think he'll be certainly the happier with this doubleheader as they go into the latter stages of the group. 8 points each, and as we heard earlier, the other two in the group still on three. So the draw is not really bad news for either of them with two games to go. Paris can say, well, look, we didn't have Leo Messi. The creativity probably wasn't there, and the way Benfica handled Neymar was pretty good. He was forced to drop deeper and deeper to pick up the ball and try and create issues in the second half. So the way Benfica handled these big players, particularly, you know, with a player like Frederic Arnaud, who was playing out of position on the left-hand side to try and stifle them, without David Neres as an attacking outlet, I think they can be pretty happy. And Roger Schmidt proving again that he can manage a side at this level, having not managed to do that with PSV Eindhoven, and had mixed fortunes and mixed results and mixed reaction to how he had tackled that job. He seems to be doing pretty well here. Benfica unbeaten, leading the way domestically, and now favourites to go through as one of the top two.
Let's hear from one of his players, Alexander Bar, who enjoyed tonight's match in the French capital.
Of course, the game is difficult when you play against world-class players, but I think we handled them pretty well, and we knew from the first game that we could create chances as well. So, I think we did pretty good. No, but we just have to believe in ourselves. We showed in the previous games that we play really good, and we can beat everyone if we play good. Today we didn't get the victory, but we're also happy with the draw in a difficult game here.
Well, a massive game next for Benfica on Tuesday, the 25th of October. They host Juventus. Paris Saint-Germain will host Maccabi Haifa. Knowing any kind of result there sees them into the round of 16. OK, still to come, we'll review more of the action from match day four in this season's Champions League.
UEFA Champions League Match Day Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
Real Madrid are into the round of 16 of the Champions League. The defending champions did not do it the easy way, though, in Poland against Shakhtar Donetsk. It looked like they were headed for defeat when Alexander Zubkov scored for the hosts. But Antonio Rudiger, fifth minute of added time, ended up bloodied when he got battered by the goalkeeper, heading the ball into the net. And Real Madrid, even, I saw this on the Match Centre, even when they don't play at their best, Chris, they can get results.
Yeah, and how many late goals did they score last season en route to their 14th title? And they're at it again. And I think it shows an awful lot about the character that they have. And that is why they've been so successful, that even when they're not at their best, they come up with a moment. Antonio Rudiger, the big centre-back, was basically playing as a centre-forward. It was a cultured pass into the penalty area, but it was the sort of thing you might see at any level of football, frankly, when you need a goal. I hope that he is okay, and I hope that the Shakhtar goalkeeper is okay. It was a really heavy coming together, but we have to pay immense credit to Shakhtar amidst everything that is happening, and for their players to be able to produce a performance like that with all the things they are having to be concerned about away from the football pitch at the moment is pretty exceptional, really. And they are still in with a great chance of going through in a very tough section, and twice now they have run Real Madrid very, very close. They can consider themselves, I would say, unlucky to have only got 1 point from their last 2 weeks.
Let's hear from their goal scorer, Alexander Zubkov.
I think everybody a bit upset, because until 95 minutes we was leading 1-0, and of course it's good feelings to score two times to Real Madrid, and everybody believe that we can beat them. And as I said, until 95 minutes we was leading, and I have disappointed feeling, you know.
You can hear how disappointed he is there. Very eloquently put, but Shakhtar denied a famous win in Poland. They're third in the group, 5 points. Leipzig currently second with 6 points. We'll get to them in a moment. But Real Madrid, 10 points, it's enough to see them through. Let's hear from their midfielder, Toni Kroos.
Important point. Well-deserved point, but also difficult game, to be honest. I think we played not that good like 1 week ago. The combination and that, you know, we're not that good as last week, but at the end, as always, we fought to the end, and we believed in it that we at least can score one goal, and we did.
Toni Kroos there. So Real Madrid top of the group. Celtic on 1 point. We knew before the action got underway that Celtic would be unable to reach the round of 16 if they lost, and Shakhtar avoided defeat. Celtic did lose, beaten 2-0, two goals in the final 15 minutes. Tino Werner, lovely header. He then set up Emil Forsberg for an even better finish with 6 minutes to go. And for Ange Postecoglou, same issue really. Celtic have these first halves where they're gung-ho and create chances. They hit the bar, they hit the post, sitters missed, and made to pay in the Champions League.
Yeah, and without their captain, Conor McGregor, of course, which was always a huge blow. He is such an important player for them. And I think exactly what you said there, when Leipzig had their moments, they had the quality to finish the chances. And you look through the Leipzig team, and they have a number of players out at the moment. It's really packed full of quality. I mean, really packed full of quality. It's one of the reasons that when it wasn't going so well, they decided to change coach. I think they believe that this is a season where they can make another serious impact in the Champions League, and who knows, maybe run the others close in the Bundesliga. That hasn't happened yet, but they've put themselves in a great position. I'll tell you what, that match between Shakhtar and Leipzig, I think it's on match day 6 in Poland. That is an absolute corker. That may well be winner takes all.
Absolutely right. Leipzig face Real Madrid first on Tuesday the 25th of October. Shakhtar go to Celtic. Let's go to Group G. The other of the two teams to qualify for the round of 16 tonight was Manchester City. They drew 0-0 at Copenhagen. Rodri appeared to have put them ahead with a rocket of a shot from 25 metres out, but handball from Riyad Mahrez in the lead up to it saw it ruled out. Then a penalty to Manchester City, missed by Riyad Mahrez. Brilliant save by the goalkeeper. And then Sergio Gomez was sent off on the half hour for bringing down a player through on goal. But it remained 0-0. City didn't turn to Erling Haaland. They have Liverpool at the weekend. And despite the fact they'll be disappointed not to have won and not scored for the first time in 24 matches, a job done in this crazy period of the season.
Yeah, two matches, potentially the chance to rotate now. I think many people will be trying to get Jakob Nystrup's number. So how do you stop Manchester City scoring? Because no one else seems to manage to do it. But City are there with two games to spare. And to any season, that is a very impressive achievement.
Yeah, top with 10 points. Borussia Dortmund on 7 points after a 1-1 draw with Sevilla. They fell behind when Tonki Nianzou, who left Bayern for Sevilla, scored the opener at Borussia Dortmund. Remember, Dortmund drew with Bayern at the weekend in the league. But then Jude Bellingham got the equaliser before half-time, 10 minutes to the break, when he bundled in Thomas Meunier's cutback. Bellingham is the third teenager to score in 4 successive Champions League matches after Erling Haaland and Kylian Mbappe before him. Illustrious company. Let's hear from Bellingham, awarded the Player of the Match award.
I'd rather have won the game, to be honest. Yeah. It's one of them things where, you know, I scored the goal, done all right, but yeah, wanted to win the game. Didn't quite manage it, you know, they were a lot harder to play against than last week. Obviously, I think they have the confidence from the new manager, and that's understandable, but, you know, it's from 1-0 down, it's good to make sure that we get something out of the game at least.
What a player and what a talent. Dortmund, though, are in a good position. City 10 points, Borussia Dortmund 7, Sevilla 2, Copenhagen 2. Maybe we can get some players of the match from our crew. Adam Summerton, who was the outstanding performer, Milan-Chelsea.
Well, he only played half the game, but I thought that he had such an impact on it. Very good first half, Mason Mount, I would say.
OK, Jonathan Beck, Paris Saint-Germain-Benfica, who was the player of the match for you?
It was a tight one, not much between either of the two sides. I think Kylian Mbappe, now a record breaker for his club, the man with the penalty, which made it 1-0, ending 1-1.
Chris, one other player stand out for you?
It has to be Omar at Silly of Maccabi Haifa.
Not bad, scoring two goals to take down Juventus. Well, that's all we have time for. Thank you very much for listening to tonight's show. Remember to join us from 6 p.m. CEST every Champions League match night for live commentary, interviews and analysis from the group stage. Atletico Brugge, Barca, Inter, Rangers, Liverpool to come. But from me, Rob Daly, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.